Good morning, sisters. It is great to see you all. That's the title of this morning's Devo, the Good Morning Devo. And it is intended to encourage. This devotional is for you, and this devotional is for me. So I have 3 points. It's a good morning because God made it so. It's a good morning because God makes it so. And it's a good morning because we make it so. So those are our 3 points. Point number one, it's a good morning because God made it so. He literally made the morning. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Sometimes we get discouraged when we look out too far, like Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus. We look at the world around us, and we look at what presidents are doing or not doing. We see wars. We see conflicts within our own United States, assassinations within our own United States, terrible, terrible things. And sometimes we may be discouraged in the morning because of all these things. But let's remember that God is over the kingdoms of men. Let's remember that he made this world, this earth, and all the people in it. And while he does grant us the gift of free will and he lets us make our own choices, good or bad, he is present and active in the lives of his children. And he gives the kingdoms to whomsoever he wishes, according to the scriptures. Let's remember the words of the hymn, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." So sometimes we look out too far at the world around us, and sometimes we get discouraged when we look out too far just beyond the day that we're in. Sometimes we try to look at too many days at once. And certainly it's not wrong to look beyond this one day in order to plan. But God made the day with a 24-hour limit for a reason. My mom told me when we were growing up, this is why God gave life to us in little 24-hour packages, because he knew that's all we could handle at a time. And Jesus said pretty much the same in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He said, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Some of us may be going through difficult circumstances. We might be trying to help aging parents. We might be trying to strengthen our marriage. We might be facing a lost promotion or something because we are Christians and people know it. We might be praying for an opportunity to talk to a denominational friend or spouse about Jesus. We might have young children that we're trying to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord while simultaneously trying to keep them from throwing grapes all around the grocery store, you know. We all have difficult circumstances to deal with of one kind or another, and we all have them. We all know that, of some kind. We also have good circumstances to deal with, and they just simply fill our days so full that we're not sure how we're going to fit it all in and still sleep. When we're overwhelmed, remember to take it just one day at a time. God gave us life in little 24-hour packages for a reason. My last thought on this point, before Victor and I got married, I had some nerves about getting married. I wanted to marry Victor, my husband, and I wanted to get married, but I was like, this is for life. Like, it was a big, big life-altering decision. So I'm like at the precipice of it, you know, I'm engaged to him, and I'm talking to Evelyn Bonner, and I'm telling her this, and she does something unexpected. She laughs. And I'm like, okay, so that shocked me. And then she said something. I was telling her, I was like, Evelyn, you know, how do I know if I'm going to still love my husband, you know, like through my whole life? And she laughed at me. And then she said, I don't know if I'm going to love my husband 10 years from now. And that shocked me again. And then she told me something that really, really helped me a lot. She said, but I can love him today. And I was like, of course, right? Because that's all we have is just today. And if I can love my husband today, and I know I can love my husband today, then I don't have to worry about a whole lifetime. I just have to worry about today. I can be faithful to my God just today. I can just concentrate on this 24-hour package. So it's a good morning because God made it so. Point number one. Point number two, it's a good morning because God makes it so. Because God is good. Let's read Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We don't always remember that God's mercies are new every morning. Sometimes we are discouraged because of what we see, not what we see when we look outward, but because of what we see when we look inward. Because maybe we struggle with the same sin over and over, and it's frustrating. There's something that Tobias Hatchett, Olivia's husband, something that he said in a lesson while he was still at Ninth and Main before he and Olivia moved off that really helped me, it was such a great point. He said, when you're in a tug of war with sin, and you're really frustrated with yourself because you're making the same mistakes over and over and over, he said, be encouraged, because the fact that that's happening means you haven't let go of the rope. You're still in the fight. You're still willing to fight. And that is good. You haven't given it up. You haven't given up the fight. So even though you're struggling maybe with the same sin over and over, there's still encouragement in that because you haven't let go of the rope. Sometimes we feel discouraged when we look inward because we deal with ourselves too harshly. We feel discouraged when we start a new day because we just know that we're going to mess something up again. We're going to fail God again. We're going to fail our family again. When our children make mistakes, what would we do if we saw them beating themselves on the head, sad and anxious and uncertain of our love for days? We understand that's not healthy for a kid, right? We understand that a kid needs to feel our love, or our discipline or our instruction, and then feel our love and return to a state of, I'll try again next time, and having peace. That should be us with God. We should say, I'm so sorry, Father. I know you are patient, and thank you for being patient with me. I messed up. I did not follow your word this time, but I want to try again. Please help me walk in the light. We are God's precious children. He loves us so much. Even when he needs to discipline us, his discipline is because he loves us. We must know and feel and understand that God's love for us is bigger than our greatest and most persistent failures, as we attempt to walk in the light according to his word. God does not expect perfection of us. That is the entire reason Christ died. If we could have lived perfect without him, he would not have needed to come. God knew we were going to mess up. Sometimes a brother or sister will pray to God, I hear it in a sermon, please help us live better each day. In my mind, I can't pray that because it sets me up for sure failure because I know I won't live perfectly. Instead, I like to pray, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray that, it's just in my own thoughts, but instead I like to pray, help me walk in the light today. Instead of better each day, help me walk in the light today. Walking in the light is the trajectory of your life. It includes messing up, but it also includes having a heart to repent and grow. There's a gentleman at 9th and Main, Brother Ray Hightower, who prays, Lord, please forgive us as we learn to do better. My husband Victor will often pray in his prayers, Lord, help us to keep moving forward. These are prayers that I can pray. May we not forget that as we are earnestly attempting to walk in the light, not perfectly, but with a trajectory toward heaven, God's mercies are new every morning. Here's where we'll connect to 1 Corinthians. When we are being too harsh with ourselves, God is patient. God is kind. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing. His justice upon the unpenitent is real. But for the penitent, he is not resentful, right? He is love. He is the one who goes and looks for us when we, wander off from the other 99 sheep. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Jesus did not die on the cross so we could deprive ourselves of the peace that he died for us to have. Like a parent who loves their kiddos with more love than they will ever know until maybe they become parents themselves one day, God does not wish for us, his children, to have an overabundance of unnecessary guilt that lingers. And given that we are our children's first concept of God, first concept of authority, first concept of how an authority figure who claims to love them acts, let us endeavor to show our children God, who loves truth and is full of mercy, by our own love of truth, tempered with mercy. We have to model for our kids or grandkids or sisters in Christ how we want them not just to treat others, but how to treat themselves. They need to hear us talk to them in a way that will be healthy for them to internalize when they talk to themselves about their own failures. So let us not be discouraged when we face the morning, because God makes it a good morning, because he is good. And finally, point number three. Finally, it's a good morning because we make it so. Let's read Psalm 118, verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. We might know this one already. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So this point's about how we make it a good morning. So back to that gift of free will thing. God grants us the ability to choose how we will face the day. So to help us face the day with courage, here are three strategies that we could adopt. Number one, start the day with a little bit of scripture. The key phrase here is little bit, the little bit of scripture. If you talk to my mother for 2 seconds, you will see that she is full of wisdom. And she told me once that it's nice to read the scriptures in the morning because then you can kind of take it with you through the day. I used to not do that. I used to wait till the end of the day. But she said, it's nice to read it in the morning because then you can kind of percolate on it, kind of meditate on it throughout the day. And when I drive to work most mornings now, I'll turn on an audio recording of the Bible and I'll listen to one chapter on the Bible app. And I make myself usually stop at a chapter because I'm like, okay, Anna, now you need to think about it. Sometimes it's difficult for me to sit down with the scriptures once the business of the day has begun, but when I'm in the car, there's nothing to do but listen. Just sit and listen. And then later, sometimes I'll try to quiz myself on what I read Can you remember, Hannah, what you listened to this morning? Sometimes in the shower, sometimes like I'm driving home. It's a type of meditation on the word. A saying goes, maybe Virgil, I can't remember who said it, that a day is like a small life. Like if you think of 24 hours as like being born and dying, if a day is a small life, instead of waiting until the end of the day to meet with God in his word, how much better would it be if we live the whole day with him, if we live the whole life with him, to start with him in the morning? You might think, Anna, I don't have a lot of time in the morning. That's okay. It doesn't have to be a long time. Never underestimate the power of one small action done repeatedly. One chapter every day, thoughtfully listened to, adds up. And you can have another longer study later in the day if you wish, but getting the word in us early in the day is a good thing. So that's tip number one. Tip number two, we can make it a good morning by resolving to look for the good. When my son was in first grade, he went through a period of time when he was very anxious. I won't go into all the details. He would worry, though, if he was going to hell for accidentally kicking the kid in front of him in line. He was constantly distraught by tiny, tiny things that he found fault with in himself, things that were of no real consequence, or things that he was only tempted to do but never did. But he would beat himself up for these things. He would dread going to school, already imagining all the days he would fail. He's in third grade now. He's doing so much better. He's doing really well, and I'm very thankful to God for that. But looking for the good became part of what helped Benjamin, thanks to God. I would do repeat after me's with him in the car on the way to school. Like I told him, you know, if you can train your brain to think in unhealthy ways, we can also train our brains to think in healthy ways. And part of that is repetition. Part of that's what makes it stick. And so I would have him repeat things like, I can influence the quality of my day. I will choose to influence it for good. We would do that like virtually every day, along with other kinds of things. But in addition to the repeat after me's, Victor, my husband, suggested that we give Ben a daily mission to report on three good things that he had done that day, Since he was so preoccupied with chronicling the minuscule bad things that he was thinking he may or may not have done, he would give us this laundry list at the end of the school day of all these tiny things he thought he had done wrong, which were nothing at all, basically. And so when he first started this mission of three good things of the day, he had a really, really hard time reporting back. He had a very, very difficult time thinking of three good things that he had done or that he could find in the day. But over time, gradually, it got easier and easier for him. And it morphed into three good things that he had done that day, into just three good things of the day. And eventually, Ben didn't dread going to school anymore. Give me a second. Thanks. So his perspective had shifted. He was purposefully looking for the good. And now we use the three good things of the day as a way for me to hear about my school kids' day, my kids' school day. Now it's just a way for me to hear about how their day has gone. And sometimes they ask me about my three good things, and I get to share with them. So Ben is not the only one who's benefited from this shift in perspective. It took me years and years, but one of the most important shifts of my life was when my faith went from being rooted in terror to being rooted in gratitude. From me operating out of fear of hell to operating out of an appreciation for what God has done for me and does for me and will do for me. So train yourself to look for the good. That's tip number two. And tip number three, last point, is to tell God when you don't think you're doing so well. Brother Brian Braswell, one of our elders at 9th and Main, he said once, when you speak something out loud, it loses its power over you. If you struggle to face the day with courage, if anxiety is persistent, tell him. He already knows you're not perfect, but God sees the trajectory of your life. He sees what you're trying to do. He loves you. So tell him. Maybe it would sound like this. Sample prayer. Lord, thank you for your mercies today. Thank you for the sunrise today, the cool weather last night, the delicious fajitas. Thank you for the opportunity to be more grateful for my comfy bed tonight than I have been in a long time. Then you might say something like, pray specifically for things that you're good things you're thankful for. And then say maybe something like, Holy Father, I'm feeling anxious about this morning. I'm anxious about the test I'll take next week. I know it's silly, but I'm worried about it, Father. I'm anxious, Lord, about talking to my sister in Christ about some issue. I'm anxious about feeling resentful towards my children, whom I love, but sometimes it's hard for me to deal with them, and I don't want to feel that way. Help me to learn to love them, and even if I don't always like them. I'm feeling anxious about this. I'm feeling guilty about it. Just tell him, right? And cast all your cares upon him. And then pray, Lord, I know you wish my spiritual good. Thank you for hearing my worries and for being patient with me. As I learn to do better, help me in these things, please, Lord. Just tell him what you're anxious about and then say, please help me. Tell God when you think you aren't doing so well. So it's a good morning because God made it so. It's a good morning because God makes it so. And it's a good morning because we make it so. Grace and peace and encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all today.